25, the right-hand, the left-hand column, two-thirds way down the page. This chapter on Likutei Moran is significant in the fact that this was the first shiur that Rav Nosson Zal heard from Rabbeinu Zal, official shiur. Rav Nosson Zal came to Rabbeinu Zal shortly before Rosh Hashanah, when Rabbeinu Zal moved into the city of Breslov. We'll read, there's a paragraph in Chayim Aran that's very important in describing the circumstances around this shiur on Likutei Moran specifically. This is from the Sefer Chayim Aran we're reading now, paragraph Yud Tes, in the section Sichos HaShayochem LaTorah, stories that related to the chapters on Likutei Moran. Rav Nosson Zal writes, HaTorah Atem Nitzavim B'Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph B'Simen Mem Dalet, Omar B'Shabbos Shekoidem Rosh Hashanah Shalshnas Tovkuv Samar Gimel B'Shabbos Horishon Shenskarafti Elov. He describes that Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, the first time that when I became bikuruv to him. V'shom medaber meinyan mechoas kapayim b'shas hatfila. And in this shir, Rabbeinu Zal is going to be discussing the importance of clapping hands during davening. V'da, you should know, sheba'oisoy ho'eis sh'omar ha'toyra ha'zois, oz ho'yosamuch l'knisosoy l'poy Breslov. When Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, it was right around the time that he moved into the city of Breslov. Va'oz diber harbe meinyan mechoas kapayim betfila. And Rabbeinu Zal spoke a great deal about this topic of clapping hands during tefila. V'siperli, and Rabbeinu Zal told me, shebetchilas knisosei lepoi, that when he first moved into the city, Omad pam echod al pesach habeis hamedrash shebebeisoi, he was standing in the entrance to the shul by his house. V'hoichiach esoilom al oidos hatfila she'enom mispalim koroi. And Rabbeinu Zal reprimanded the people that were there that they're not davening the right way. They're davening asleep. They're davening cold. V'ono v'omar, and Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, she'en shoimim mishum echod mi'amispalim shum hamchoas kaf, that I don't hear from a single one of the people that are davening here any clapping hands, any lebedikait during the davening.
Miad,
and from this we understood immediately that Rabbeinu Zal wants to restore davening to the way it was before, during the time of the Baal Shem Tov, not a few thousand years before, because it's brought in these sforim that describe Rabbeinu Zal's life, it's brought that right around Rabbeinu Zal's time, it's brought that right around the time of Rabbeinu Zal, there was a tremendous cooling off of the Hasidim. During the Baal Shem Tov's time, he lit a fire under his Talmidim and his Mekurovim, where their davening, their learning, their avoda was very tremendous hislavus. Then, 50, 60 years later, things started dying down, where among the Hasidim, things started becoming cool and quiet and low-key in terms of not being tremendously alive. And it's brought here that they saw that Rabbeinu Zal wants to restore that original fire that Hasidim were known for. Sheyachzeru lehisoyer lehispal bekavono v'eslavus ubekoyar godoil kemoi hachasidim horishonim shoyu b'meyam Baal Shem Tov Zal v'tamid v'akdoshim shoyu b'doris lefoneinum. Rabbeinu Zal want to restore that fire and tefila b'koyach that was during the time of the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. Ki betchilas yemei Rabbeinu Zal kvar hischilu hachasidim lehiskarer. Because in the beginning of, during Rabbeinu Zal's time, the Hasidim had started cooling off in terms of becoming less religious, less fire in terms of frumkeit. V'hu Zal yoga v'torach harbe l'sakein kol zeh. And Rabbeinu Zal struggled and worked very hard to correct this. L'hachzir ho ha'tora l'yoshna, to restore the crown to its original strength. Gam bo'ei sahi koidam ha'shabes shelifnei Rosh Hashanah anal, Hoyu etzloi shnei chasidim mehachashuvim gtzas. During the week before this Shabbos, Rav Nosson Zal came for the shir on Shabbos. Sometime during the week before that, there were two chasidim chashuvim that were by Rabbeinu Zal. Obviously, talmidei chachomim were people that were known to be rabbis. V'soadu etzloi Zal, and they were Rabbeinu Zal's guests for a meal. ובתוך שיחות סנימוי, היו מסליטצן מאחד מנמרוב, שדרכוי להרבויס במחוס כפיים בשעס התפילה. And while they were talking to Rabbeinu Zal, they made fun of a chosid who lived in the city of Nemerov, who used to clap hands during davening, during tefillah. They were laughing about this at the meal in front of Rabbeinu Zal. V'hikbid Rabbeinu Zal al zeh. Rabbeinu Zal got angry at this. V'diber itam koshois, and he reprimanded them severely. V'omar lem, he said to them, v'chi atem yoidim mahu mechoas kapayim b'tefillah? Do you know what clapping hands during davening is about? V'chol ho'enyonim sheyesh bozeh, and you know all the different secrets that are related to this. Ad shatem esloitzitzim yizo ishanal, where you feel comfortable making fun of this person. Shaloi neskabel etzleichem mechoas kapayim shaloi. You don't like his clapping hands, so you think you can laugh about it? What do you know? This is what Rabbeinu Zal said to them. V'achar kach, b'shabes she'achar zeh, shehu shabes shelifnei Rosh Hashanah, bosi onoichi al shabes. Rav Nosson Zal writes that the following Shabbos, I came to Rabbeinu Zal for that Shabbos. Va'oz omar ha-toyro atem nitzovim al inyan mechoas kapayim. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal gave the shir that we're about to learn, where he gives about 15 explanations as to what's accomplished when a Jew claps his hands during davening. V'hi hoiso ha-toyro horishoino shezochisi lishmoyim ipiv ha-kodosh. This was the first shir that I had the privilege of hearing from Rabbeinu Zal's mouth. V'tekev kosavti oisoi bezrosoi hagdolo tila lekel chaye. And I immediately wrote it down with Rabbeinu Zal's help, you know, thanks to Hashem that I was zocheh to write this down. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, gam achar kach besomuch achar sukkos bo ish echod minemro velov v'hu hoyo ha'ish shehoy etzloi koidim Rosh Hashanah shehoy misloit zeitz mimechoas kapayim shel echod anal. A short while later, after sukkos, one of these two people who had been laughing about the clapping hands during davening came to visit Rabbeinu Zal again. This man was coming to Rabbeinu Zal because one of his children became very sick. Rabbeinu Zal took out one of the writings, one of the Sforim of the Kisvei Arizal, and he told him, I want you to read this to me. Rabbeinu Zal told this person, let's see you read it to me what it says here. And there the Arizal explains that in the words in Birchas Kohanim, V'yosem l'cho sholoim, the first letters, Shin Lamed Vov, represent Hamtoka Sadinim. It's the gematria of three times Yudke Vovke plus three times Elikim. It represents three powers of Chesed overpowering three powers of din. By Paro, it says he had the Sholosh Sorigim. He had three, the Sar Amashkim, the Sar Hoifim, and the Sar Hatabochim, who represent three major klipois, three major forces of din. And the Sifrei Kabbalah talk about the Hamtoka, those three times Elikim, is Bigimatria Goroin, the throat. The throat represents a very narrow constriction, Tzimtzum. Whenever we talk about Midas Sadin, we talk about Min HaMeitzar Koros. Meitzar means tight spot, being in a tight spot. And the Arizal explains over there the whole secret of Hamtoka Sadin, that you take three times Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's Mamtik, these three Elikims, and that's Bigimatria Shin Lamed Vav. And Rabbeinu Zal, not in this chapter that we're learning now, but in a subsequent chapter, he's going to be talking about how this is accomplished when a person claps hands in tefillah, how they affect this Hamtoka Sadin. Shehu bechinas shelov hoisi vayafar pereni. There's a pasuk that says, shelov hoisi, I was at peace, vayafar pereni, and Hashem crumbled me. And the Arizal says, vayafar pereni, par, represents din. The five letters of the aleph beis that are called oisiyah stumois are begimatria par, a whole shear there. Vetzivoloi sheyoymar lefonov zeh hoinyan. Rabbeinu Zal commanded this person, Read what it says here to me. V'huchrach loymer lefonov, and this person had to read it. V'achakach omaloi Rabbeinu Zal ha-toyra al mechoas kaf shebesimin mem vov. And then Rabbeinu Zal gave this person a shir that we're going to have in another two chapters in Likut Imran. There's about six chapters in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this topic of clapping hands during tefillah. Meinin ha-gimel yadayim, ayin sham, look over there. Avol zeh ho ish mien lahatois shichmoy lisboil oil toiro uleskariv elav zal. But this person was reluctant to accept Rabbein Ezal's words with seriousness, and he was reluctant to become nichnat, to become a Talmud of Rabbein Ezal. Like he heard what he said, and nice, cute, but this person didn't become attached to Rabbein Ezal. V'chozar lebeisoy, this person returned home, v'hayeled nechlash yoiser, and the child became more ill. V'siper lehoish kol hinyan anal she'osakimoy Rabbein Ezal v'chol ha'toyra zoiz shamalayoz. Rav Nosson Zal, who lived in Nemirov, heard this whole thing from that person. He heard the whole story from the person himself. Gam siper li, she Rabbein Ezal siper loy eze maise me odoin echod, shoya az ponim, ve koshe biyoiser, she koren banit, ve eino izrecher heitev hamaise. This person also told me a story that Rabbein Ezal had told him about a certain rich, wealthy person that was an az ponim, who didn't, he was very tough, and this person didn't remember all the details. Ubikesh mimeni hoish, this person asked me, shekishe esailov, that when I go to Rabbein Ezal, next time I go to visit Rabbein Ezal, sheazkir lefonov es hayeled, ulevakesh oisoy sheyashiloi, that I should mention to Rabbein Ezal again about this child that's sick, and to ask Rabbein Ezal on his behalf that Rabbein Ezal should please daven for the child. The person would say, what could be better? Sounds like a very religious person, a very good person, wonderful. Couldn't be any worse. He's not. He has respect for a tzaddik. He even asked him to daven for him. Vani nosati besomuch elov. Rav Nosson Zal writes that shortly afterwards I traveled to Rabbein Ezal, v'dibarti imoy mizeh, and I spoke to Rabbein Ezal about this. Ono v'omar, so Rabbein Ezal said, oid hayeled chai? You mean to say that kid is still alive? B'loshen t'mia, and Rabbein Ezal said this as a question. V'omadati marid u'mishtoimeim. Rav Nosson Zal writes, I stood petrified from the way he said it, as if Rabbein Ezal was saying, you know, what do you mean? That child was supposed to die already. Why is he, what is it that he's still living? Ki hevanti midvorov shekvar nechtam hagzar din al hayeled lemisa. Because I understood from Rabbein Ezal's words that he was obviously saying that, what do you mean? I saw in the books in heaven that that child isn't supposed to be alive anymore. Ono Rabbein Ezal v'omer, and Rabbein Ezal spoke up and said, Im hoyo ho'ish hanal mekabel dvorai, if that person would have accepted my words properly, kvar hoyo hayeled shov lebriyosoi, that child would have been healthy already, would have been cured already. Ko'imer aval achshov sheloi kibel dvorai, yefshir sheyich yayeled. In parentheses it says here, implying that now that he decided not to listen, it isn't possible for the child to live. V'chein hava, Rav Nosson Zal writes, that's exactly what happened. Shebesamuch niftar hayeled, that a short while later the child passed away. U'keshediber Rabbein Ezal imi mehoishanal sheloi kibel afonov, and when Rabbein Ezal spoke about this person, the fact that this person didn't become close, didn't become attached to Rabbein Ezal, hischalti lahamlet savuroi. Rav Nosson Zal said, I started defending this person. Vomarti, and I said, Eichev sheloi liskariv. How can you expect him, like, you know, to become your student? Vahaloi hu kvar mekurov. He's already attached to a rabbi, and the rabbi that he was attached to was one that was against Rabbein Ezal, that was a cholek against Rabbein Ezal. Heshiv huzal, so Rabbein Ezal answered, Im kein yeshloi nisoyon godol. If that's the case, then his test is a little more difficult. That's all. Kloimar v'chimabekach. What's the big deal? V'chimipneze iev shloy leskarev. Just because he has this test that he's attached to another rabbi, it's impossible for him to become close to me. Rak shehani soyen shloy godol. It's just that his test is he's got a certain test. Ubevadai hutzorech lamoid benisoyen uleshaber kol hamenios uleskarev. But certainly he's obligated to pass the test and to overcome whatever obstacles it takes to become a kuruv to Rabbein Ezal. Period. End of story. This is an example. We see Rabbein Ezal says in a turn of Kutimran, Ki merachamim yenahagim, that a leader of Klal Yisrael has to be a tremendous rachmon. And there are people that think they know what the definition of rachmonis is. What's the big deal? Who doesn't know what rachmonis means? To be nice to people. What else does it mean? Here you see an example of how Rabbein Ezal conducted himself in a particular situation, where Rabbeinu Zal understood that this is what he's required to do. This is the correct way and the best way. This is called Rachmanus for this person. He offered him an opportunity, he taught him, he showed him. The person didn't take the bait. Rabbeinu Zal put out bait. The person didn't take the bait, so he didn't take the bait. That's it. But what about a child? What did the child do? What crime? What do you mean? How could a religious Jew do so? You know that a child is sick. Somebody gives you a name. They tell you a child is sick. You're not going to daven for that child. What kind of thing is that? The answer is it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Because if a person would want, a person could stand on a street corner and collect names. He ask every person, you know anybody, can I have your name? I'll daven for you. A person would say that's a normal, it's a nice thing to do. They're making mishaberach set the Torah. You toss in a couple of names. What does it hurt? It doesn't hurt at all, right? Just to say another name. But sometimes when a person does it in that way, not only doesn't it help, but it could subtract. It makes it cheap because the person shows that that's their attitude. Oh, throw in another, mention another name. Whether the person knows or not that you're being mispal for them, who cares? Whether he knows or doesn't know, whether the person shows any faith in the fact in tefillah, whether they believe in tefillah. If a person gets tzedakah, a person gets tzedakah to a shul, I want them to make a mishaberach for me, and I'm giving 5 shekel, I'm giving 1 shekel, each person on their madreka, whatever it is, that shows a certain emunah in the tefillah. But if a person says, oh, you're going to this kever of this, could you mention my name? Person says it in a certain way that shows a certain lack of meaning. Here also, he heard Rav Nosson Zal was going, please tell him to pray for my child. And Rabbeinu Zal understood that in this case it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible and it wasn't right. It wasn't the right thing to do. Otherwise Rabbeinu Zal would have done it. Now we'll cover this Shir Likutei Moran. Rabbeinu Zal says, Mashemachin kaf al kaf, b'shas hatfila, this that we clap hands during the time of davening, ki omru chazal, because the Medrash says, lo mohischilo hatoyra mibereshis. The Torah is a book of rules and regulations. Logically, it should have started from the first mitzvah. What kind? It's not a storybook. Why does the Torah start with stories? Telling us that Hashem created the world in 6 days. Why doesn't it just start with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush Levono? Why doesn't it start with that, which is the first official mitzvah that's presented in the Torah as instructions to Am Yisrael? So the Medrash says, Ki ha'akum yoimru lanu gazlonim atem shekivashtem eretz shivamimim. Because the goyim would say to Bnei Yisrael that you are thieves. You threw us out of our land. We were here first. The 7 nations were there before Bnei Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael as a nation. Avram Avinu might have been there before them or before some of them. But the Jews, when they came out of Mitzrayim and wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, there were other nations there at the time. So the goyim could come and claim and say, you took what's ours. Bishvil zeh koyach masov higid li amoy. Therefore the Medrash says, Hashem wanted to set the world straight, right up front. Who created this world? I created this world. It belongs to me. If it belongs to me, I have the right. Shehigid shekol ho'ilomoy sakoyel ma'asiyodov. Hashem stated clearly that all the worlds are all His creation. Ulamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu roitze hu noisein. And Hashem has the right to give it to whomever He wants. And to take it away at any point in time from anybody and give it to someone else. V'zeh lo seis lohem nachlas goyim. The pasuk says, "Koyach masov higid liamoy." Hashem told us of His actions, of His creation, the fact that He created the world. Lo seis lohem nachlas goyim, so that He should be able to show that He has the right to give to Bnei Yisrael the nachlas goyim, this piece of land which the goyim were on at one time. What right do the Jews have to take it? The answer is the Jews didn't take it. Hashem, who made it, gave it to them and took it away from the goyim and gave it to the Jews at whatever point He decided to. Ki biyodoy hakoil, because it's all in Hashem's hands. V'chol hadvorim nikruim koyach masov, and all of creation is called koyach masov, the action, the creation of Hashem's hands. Keneged chof ches asvon duvda bereshis, corresponding to the 28 letters of the first pasuk in Bereshis. Bereshis, Bor Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Haaretz, has in it 28 letters. Keneged chof ches pirkin diodayim, corresponding to the 28 parts of the hand. In Hebrew, the word hand is yad, and the most important part of the yad refers to the fingers. That's the most constructive part of the hand usually. The fingers have in them, they're broken into sections, 3 in the pinky, 3 in all the fingers, except 2 in the thumb. So you have 14 in each hand, bigimatria yad. Twice yad is koyach. That's this koyach mas of higid liamoy. The first pasuk in the Torah symbolizes that the world is the creation of Hashem's hands. In fact, there's a pasuk, af yodi yosto eretz vimini tovcho shamayim. Hashem says, with my left hand I created eretz, with my right hand I created shamayim. So the pasuk actually enumerates symbolically this concept of the two hands of Hashem creating. Rabbi Nezal says, v'ze yodua. Ki avira deretz amimin hi tmeo, v'avira deretz Yisrael hu kodosh v'tohor. The air, the atmosphere of Chutz Loretz is assumed to be tamei, and the air and the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael is assumed to be kodosh v'tohor. Ki hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi tachas yad ho'akum v'nosan lonu. Because Hashem removed Eretz Yisrael from the possession of the goyim and He gave it to us. Aval eretz amim shehi chutz loretz shom avir tomei. Whereas outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's still tomei air, tomei atmosphere. Ukisha'onu mechon kaf al kaf. And when we, Rabbi Nezal was living in Russia at the time, in chutz loretz, Rabbi Nezal said that when we clap our hands, boze nis oirer kofches asfon de bereshis. By connecting our two hands, the 28 pirkin, we arouse the 28 pirkin of the 28 letters of the first pasuk of the Torah, Bereishis. Koyach Masov, v'nimtzo shebiyodoy loses lonu nachlas goyim. What does that pasuk emphasize? That it's in Hashem's hands to give over to the Jews the land of the goyim. That the land in which the goyim are living in, Hashem can take it away from the goyim and make it Jewish. Rabbi Nezal says, ki ha'koel shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'bazeh yesh koyach biyodeinu letaher avir eretz ha'amim. Therefore, by doing this, a person is given the ability to make the place that they're standing in pure, to purify the air and the atmosphere of where they're standing, even if they're in Chutz Loretz. Ki nechzar eretz ha'amim tachas mamshelas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this first pasuk is what establishes the fact that Hashem takes away a land in which the goyim live in and gives it, because here the authority is in His hand, it belongs to Him, and Hashem reserves the right to give it over to Bnei Yisrael. Ubiyodoy loses lechol mishiyirtze. Hashem maintains the right to give it to whoever He wants. Kama shekosuv loses lohem nachlas goyim, to give to Bnei Yisrael the nachla of the goyim. V'oz nitar avir hamokoim sheisha Yisraeli mispalel. Therefore, when a Jew does this, he actually purifies the air in the place in which he's standing. V'shoyev avir hakodosh kemoi beretz Yisrael. And he's able to draw holy air as if he was standing in Eretz Yisrael. Naturally, if a person is in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that this has no effect at all, no bearing at all. We know that there are people that could stand in Eretz Yisrael, and where they're standing, the place where they're at is emptiness. It's a void. They don't feel kiddusha. They don't feel tahara. Obviously, this process of clapping hands in tefillah has the ability to turn on and to generate a certain kiddusha and tahara in the place that the person's standing in. Next, Rabbi Nezal says, "Gam al yidei mechoas kaf nizgareish avir hatomei." Also, when a person claps hands in davening, by doing that, they remove tomei air. First, we said he establishes his place kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rabbi Nezal says he drives away the avir hatomei. Why? Ki al yidei kapayim nishma koil. Because when a person claps hands, it makes a sound. The koil hazeh hu avir kodosh michovches asundus the uvda de bereshis michovches pirkin diadaim kemo ishan roim bechush shenizgareish ho avir ayde mechoas kapayim. Rabbi Nezal says that koil, that sound that's made, represents a holy sound, a holy air from the Chof Chesas and the Breishis, and it drives away that other type of air, the Avir Tomei. When a person moves their hands, they move the air. Rabbi Nizal says, just like physically you're moving the air, so too you're spiritually, you're removing Avir HaTomei, and you're replacing it with Avir Kodosh in the place that you are. U'bishvil zeh tzorich ligboya mokoim letfilosoi. Rabbi Nizal says this is one of the reasons why it's so important to have a mokim kavua when it comes to davening, to try to establish a certain place in the shul where that's your place. Just as we see when it comes to physical living, when a person changes location, he travels to a different country where he's not used to the climate of that country. Sometimes that could lead to physical illness, and it could even lead to death. Change of climate, where the person doesn't adapt properly to the new climate, leads to illness and even to death. Sometimes even if a person moves from a worse climate, from a worse house to a better house, that could bring illness or chas v'shalom worse, because it's a change, a certain type of change. Kein hadovor b'tfila. The same thing holds true when it comes to davening. If a person changes location, it could be harmful to the person. Afilu kishoinet l'spalel b'mokoyim shespalel tzadik, afal pikein kosheloi ma'oid l'spalel shom. Even if a person changes his place to a better place, let's say he has a certain mokom kavua in the shul and he changes his place to the place where a tzadik stood, it's not necessarily an improvement, because sometimes the change, just like physical change, can harm physical health, so too this type of change, beruchnius, can harm the tefillah, can make it that in the new place he can't daven with the same kavona as he davened in it in a place that he got used to from before. Kol shkein minova hayofel inova ro. How much more so if a person changes location and changes his place to a place where a rosha davened, that certainly would harm the person's tefillah. V'zeh shamru chazal kol hakovei amokoim letefillah elei ke'avrom bi'ezroi. A person who has a set place for davening, the Hashem of Avram Avinu will help him. Ki al yodoi nivne oilom mechodosh. Because Rabbi Nizal says, a person who does this, who has a mokoim kavua for tefillah, he creates the world anew. We just showed before that the clapping hands during davening means he made Eretz Yisrael. He created a new world, in a sense, where he's standing. Ubinyan oilam al yedei Avraham. And we know that the creation of the world comes through Avram Avinu. Kama shekosuv oilam chesed yibone. That oilam yibone binyan oilam is through chesed. Chesed is the midah of Avram Avinu. Therefore, a person who davens in a place and he makes chiddush ha'olam in his place, he's plugged into Avram Avinu. He draw Elokei Avraham b'Ezroi. We find also when Hashem created the world, it says Ele toldos hashamayim v'ha'oretz b'hi boron. This is the story of the creation of heaven and earth when they were created. The Medrash says the word b'hi boron is oisis be'Avraham, that the world was created b'schus Avraham. Here also, creation. A person who is koivea mokoim letfilosoi and davens the right way, they're mekadesh their place. They make a new bria in the place. They create Eretz Yisrael where they're standing. Therefore, they're associated with Avram Avinu, like Avraham b'Ezroi. V'zeh de'isa b'tikunim. This is what's brought in Tikkunei Zohar. U'bahai koyach Yisrael mistakvin al edoim. That with this strength, with this power, the Jews are goyver over Edom. They overcome Edom. Ve'oid tzorech lesalko lahay koyach legabi chochma. And the Tikkunei Zohar says a person has to lift up this koyach to chochma. This refers to the pasuk su'u yideichem koydesh. When a person lifts, koyach refers to the hands, we said, kof ches pirkin diodayim. When a person wants to clap, usually they lift up the hands towards the head in an upward direction. That's lifting up the koyach to chachma, which the Zohar Kodesh says, this gives the Jews strength to overcome Edom, to overcome the non-Jews. וזה בחינס כל הקויבי המוקוים לתפילוסוי לכי אברהם ביעזרוי, כי אברהם הוא ימין, הרוי צלחקים ידרים. The Zohar HaKadosh spoke about elevating the koyach to chochma. Rabbi Nizal says chochma is called doroim. Haroitza lahachkim yadrim. The Gemara says when a person is davening Shemon Esrei, if he wants to draw a chachma, he should, because that's where the menorah was in the Beis Hamikdash. Doroim towards the right is also chesed. Yemin, Avram is compared to Yemin chesed. This is why the Gemara says, Elokei Avraham bi Ezrei, because if he's davening the right way, with this clapping of the hands, this se'u yedeichem kodesh, he's plugged into this, he's being male, the koyach, to chachma, and he's plugged into Avram Avinu. Void Elokei Avraham bi'Ezrei, another reason why the Gemara uses this wording, Elokei Avraham bi'Ezrei, ki Avraham hu rishon lahasoga Eretz Yisrael, because Avram was the first one to really achieve Eretz Yisrael. Kidi says, is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, tokal betiklo adiz galilei, that Avram Avinu kept weighing each country, he studied it, until he was zeichet to be masig, who is the Tsar of that country, who is the heavenly angel that's appointed over that country. And he went from country to country until he got to Eretz Yisrael, where he tried to research to see who is the Tsar over Eretz Yisrael, and he discovered that there is no Tsar over Eretz Yisrael. Kavyochel Hashem himself is the Tsar of Eretz Yisrael, and that's, the Zohar HaKadosh says, he was masig that by the Evan Shesia. When Avraham Avinu came to the, he was the first one to discover the Evan Shesia, the place where the Beis Hamikdash would be built, and that's where he came to this Hasoga, that Kavyochel Hashem is the Tsar of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Elokei HaKoyvei HaMokoim LeTfilosoi, Elokei Avraham BiEzrei, a person who is Koyvei HaMokoim for his tefillah, he's Mekadesh, his place, through this clapping hands, he's Koyvei Eretz Yisrael, the Hashem of Avram will help him, because Avram Avinu is synonymous with Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh Pirush, Rabbein Azal says, now we can understand another quotation in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tfiloh is keneged tmidim tiknun, that the Shachris and Mincha that we daven correspond to the two Korban Tomids that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash, the Tomid Shel Shachar and the Tomid Shel Beinu Arbayim. Rabbein Azal explains now, Tomid zebechinois Eretz Yisrael. The word Tomid represents Eretz Yisrael. Kamo Yishakosuv, Tomid einei Hashem alekecho bo. Hashem's eyes are constantly on Eretz Yisrael. The word Tomid means constantly. And the Torah uses that word about Eretz Yisrael. A certain extra hashgacha proti by Eretz Yisrael. Hainu tzorech lirois sheispalel tfilosoi bavir ad Eretz Yisrael. When the Gemara says tfilois keneged tmidin, it means a person has to see to it that his tefillah should be towards keneged Eretz Yisrael. His tefillah should be in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Hainu tikun machshavoi zorois shebetfilah shein bechinois tefillas keneged kanal tikunam al yedei tomid al yedei bechinois Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nathan makes an interesting play on the words here. The word keneged also means against. Tfilois keneged, that which is against tfila. What's against tfila? Bad thoughts, or all kinds of outside thoughts. When a person wants to daven, and the satan wants to do battle against that person's tfila, he sends the person machshavoi zorois. So tfilois keneged, when a person is faced with opposition to his tfila, how should he battle it? Tmidin tikkun. The tikkun for it is tomid, Eretz Yisrael. Establish, create Eretz Yisrael where you are, and that'll drive away the machshavoi zorois. How do you create Eretz Yisrael? By the clapping hands, or by kviyus mokoim. By mokoim kavua, that makes your place bikdushas Eretz Yisrael, bechinas Avraham, the whole thing that we said. V'zeh pirush, ubiyad hanaviim adameh. Rabbein Ezal quotes another pasuk, and Rabbein Ezal interprets this pasuk al yedei hayodayim al yedei mechoas kaf hadiburim nidborim biatmas kodesh biyad, through the yodayim, through clapping hands, neviim, my words, in Hebrew, the word nivsfosayim means the speech that comes from the lips. Biyad, through clapping hands, nevi'im, my words, adame, are on adomo, admas kodesh. It makes it that my words should be as if they were spoken on the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Nevi'im, loshen dibur. The word nevi'im represents dibur. Next, Rabbeinu Zal says, also through clapping hands and tefillah, gam nizbatel hereg va'avadoin me'oilam. A person could eliminate death and destruction from the world. Ki hayodayim heim bechinois yehiyor vayihiyor yemino usmola. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Hashem gave the command, Yehi Oyer, it says, let there be light, Vayehi Oyer, and there was light. This represents a concept of going forward, and like a person throws something and it bounces back. Hashem said, let there be light. He gave forth a command that came forward from Hashem, Vayehi Oyer, and the Oyer was created. The Zohar HaKadosh says that's a concept of right and left. It's brought that Yehi Oyer is the gematria of Reish Lamed Beis, which is the four tsirufim of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei can be written b'milui four different ways: Ov, Sog, Mo, and Bon. All of those represent Chesed. Yud Kei Vav Kei is always Hashem's name for Chesed. That's Yehi Oyer. That's the right hand. Vayehi Oyer. The Gemara says wherever it says Vayehi, it's always a sign of trouble. Vayhi, whoa, you know, vay, whoa. The Vayhi Oyer is Bigimatria Rochel. Rochel represents the Shechina Midas Hadin. We say in Ashrei, Poiseach es Yodecho Umasbia Lechol Chai Rotzoin. The first letters, Lamed Ches Reish, are backwards. The Malchus, that represents the Malchus, the Shechina, which is Sheloi Keseder, upside down. This concept of upside, facing backwards like. So here also, Yehi Oyer represents the right hand, an Indian of Chesed. Yehi is Bigimatria 25. This is one of the Ramosim in the Chumash for Chanukah. We just finished Chanukah today. Yehi is 25, representing the 25th day of Kislev, when Oyer, which is Chag Horim, the Yontif of Lights. Rabbeinu Zal says, so these two statements represent the right and the left. Uchsiv vayar elikim es ho'or kitoiv vayavdel bein ho'or uvein achoyshech. The Zohar HaKadosh says ho'or do aharoim. The word ho'or represents aharoim, similar letters. Uvein achoyshech do koirach, whereas darkness represents koirach. Koirach is from Shevet Levi. Aharoim is koyein, which is chesed always. Levi is midas hadin. Darkness in comparison. V'ze b'chinois v'nosati sholoim bo'oretz v'cherev lo'isavor bi'artzechem. Hashem says, I'll make peace in the world, and a sword will not pass through your land. What's the sholoim? The Zohar HaKadosh says that there was supposed to be a sholoim between Koirach and Aharoim. The Levi is supposed to serve the Kohanim. Hanilvim Elecho means those that serve you, those that are attached to you and serve you. Levi is Miloshin, to be attached. Hapam Yilove Ishi Eli, the Pasuk says, that when Levi was born, she said, now Yaakovinu is going to be attached to me. So the purpose of Levi is to be Mekusher to the Kohen. The Levi represents the Talmidim of the Tzaddik being Mekusher to him. Koirach was supposed to be attached to Aaron. Nilveilov, the left hand is supposed to be Nichlal in the right. When a person claps hands, they combine the Yehi Oyer and the Vayehi Oyer, they bring them both together, they create this sholom. V'nosati sholom boretz, v'cherev loisavar baratzechem. This drives away death. It drives away the sword, which is symbolic of hereg v'avadoin, death, destruction. And again, this is all connected to, this is the shear that Rabbeinu Zal gave that person whose child was ill. If he would have accepted Rabbeinu Zal's words, b'shlemus, this is part of what could have helped to be mamshich harefuah. Very often, Rabbeinu Zal, somebody would ask Rabbeinu Zal for advice or for a bracha. Rabbeinu Zal wouldn't give advice. He would say, I'm going to give a shir. You listen to the shir. In the shir will be included your problem. In the shir will be included your issue. to the extent that the person paid careful attention, to the extent that the person took the advice, to that extent the person was able to be mamshich the Yeshua that they needed. We mentioned this Shabbos in talking to the boys that there was an incident with Rabbi Nazal where a person once came to Rabbi Nazal for Shavuos, and he had a tremendous problem that right after there were a whole group of Goyish, like feudal lords, who wanted to meet with him right after Shavuos, and they wanted to take away all his property. He had done something which was questionable in their eyes, and they wanted to meet with him, and they wanted to do a number on him, period. He came to Rabbi Nazal for Shavuos, and he mentioned this to Rabbi Nazal. Rabbi Nazal said, "You'll be here, you'll get your answer." That Shavuos, Rabbi Nazal gave a shiur where he spoke about what's accomplished when a person speaks Shevach of Tzadikim. Rabbi Nazal says that if a person wants their words to be well received by others, that people should listen to what they have to say and should accept what they have to say, one of the ways that you're Mekadesh, your Dibur, is by telling over stories of Tzadikim. This is what Rabbi Nazal mentioned in the shiur. This person was obviously listening well enough, he heard it, he got the message. Right after Yontif, when he got into the wagon to travel to that city that he had to go to, on the whole wagon ride, a few hours, he told over stories, everything he could remember, everything he knew, Sipurim about Rabbi Nazal, Sipurim of Tzadikim, that's what he was Isaac in the whole time. And he told over that when he got to the place, as soon as he walked in and he told over his story to this group of Goyim who were there to make chop suey out of him, they wanted to destroy him, he saw that they immediately were receptive to what he had to say, they accepted it, and he went out clean. They didn't do any harm to him at all. This is an example where, again, Rabbi Nazal was malbish, an etzah in the Torah. I said before, definitely. Obviously, Rabbi Nazal mentioned, because number one, he's telling other accomplishments, removing Cherev and Hereg, the Cherev Loisava Ba'artzachem refers to Eretz Yisrael, number one, to drive out Cherev Meretz Yisrael. And number two, we mentioned that a person could be in Eretz Yisrael and not in Eretz Yisrael. A person could be standing in Eretz Yisrael, and the place that they're in is not Avir HaKodesh Vator. So if a person has machshavoy zorois in tefillah, obviously the place that he's in is not Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is an avir hakodesh vator. If a person is experiencing bilbul, we're going to see in a minute, Rabbi Nazal is going to speak about the mabul also, that the mabul, the Gemara says the mabul did not go into Eretz Yisrael. What is mabul miloshin bilbulim? So if a person is experiencing bilbulim in tefillah, it shows that he's bechinas mabul, bechinas chutzlaritz. He has to remove, he has to make the place that he's in be mekadesh, b'kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and that's how he'll remove this mabul from himself, these bilbulim.
So often a person, let's say, through his service, we collect, is it Rezal advising that just done, even if a person doesn't just done collect, to be mekadesh?
My feeling is that it's certainly much better if it comes from an inner hisoros. Not that somebody fakes this, but a person should arouse themselves to be alive, not to be davening like a corpse, to be davening alive where the person feels where it comes naturally in a sense. That's preferable. At the same time, if a person does this because Rabbi Nazal said to do it, I'm sure that I would think that doesn't harm also. Naturally, this doesn't mean to do it in a way where other people can't daven. A person claps hands loud enough to disturb another person's davening tremendously, it's also no good. But at the same time, we mentioned many times, a shul isn't supposed to sound like a morgue. People are in shul, even during Shemone Esrei, it's not supposed to be a deathly silence. There should be some sign of life. This is an example of a sign of life, if it's done the right way. Kapdonim. Kapdonim. The Bnei Yisochar asks that question in his Sefer Igra Dechala. Not Igra Dechala, Igra Depirka. He asks this question, that how is it that the Sifrei Kabbalah say that Koyan is Chesed, and yet we find that the Koyanim by nature are Kapdonim? And he explains it could be that because of the fact that Koyan is Chesed, That's why he has the Yetzirah on it. That's why this is his Yetzirah in a sense. Because of the fact that he represents Midas HaChesed, his Nisoyon is to overcome this Kaptonus. In other words, that's what he represents, that's his goal. We don't assume that he's born with it naturally. He's got to get to it. But you should know that this is his neshama is a neshama of chesed. It has this clip on it of kapdonus. That's the explanation that he gives, if I recall.
Two things on Malkum Kedusha. One, how does this affect a person who, say, is traveling or is out of his home city, who's in a different shul, as far as a Malkum Kedusha? You know, they don't have Malkum Kedusha. And two, what we were discussing before on the Malkum Kedusha, what if a person's not happy with the Malkum Kedusha he has, should he move?
I would think yes. Number one, regarding the second question, a person, it seems that this is an important item for a person to be mispal for. The Gemara says, HaKoveh HaMokom L'Tfilosei V'Kei Avram Be'ezroi, it means this is a big accomplishment, this is a big schus, to be zoicha, Ezeu Chochom Amakir Esmekoimoi, to be zoicha, to know one's place, where is my place? And that's something to beg Hashem for. A person comes to a shul, there are certain items that are mentioned. Let's say a person shouldn't assume right away to go to the front of the shul, you know, to play the Mizrachvan, that kind of thing. At the same time, there are certain eitzos that are given. A person should try to daven close to a wall where they can have a certain, not have people in front of them, preferably. There are some eitzos that are given. And secondly, this is something that requires siyata d'shmaya, for sure, for a person to beg Hashem to be zoche to have the right mokoyim. When a person's traveling, naturally it's not a matter of having a... That's part of the bilbul of travel. That's one of the reasons why a person normally shouldn't look to travel. Because a Jew's... if a person has to, you do it. One of the items of wear and tear in travel is the fact that I don't have, excuse me, my place for tefillah. It's supposed to be assumed that if a person davens, those people also that go shtiebel hopping, they go from one shul to the next, it doesn't matter to them a daven here, daven there, what's the big deal? As long as it's a shul, as long as it's a minyan, they don't realize it. They don't know what it is to have that kind of a purer type tefillah, which a person gets when they're battering at the same site, same place every day. It's like a person digging a hole every single day in a new place. They end up not having necessarily a foundation. Whereas if a person's in the same place, it's much better. When a person's traveling, could be then it's even more important to concentrate extra and to use this eitz of clapping hands to make sure to establish the place that he's in with Kiddusha.
Is there a special...
I'm sure there is. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Could be the fact that this issue alone, that Rav Nosson Zal came from Misnagdim, Rav Nosson Zal's a family and his in-laws, and the derech that he was bred on and emphasized was a derech of Misnagdim, and they are known especially when it comes to tefillah for a very boring, cold type of tefillah. No singing nigunim, lechadoidi, kelodoin, tishabov, and simchas Torah are similar. There isn't much of a difference. And here it's brought that this is when Rabbeinu Zal came to Breslov, one of the first issue, person would say, imagine a Talmud Chacham comes to the city, the first thing he starts talking about is clapping, they figure he's the clown. He's not a rabbi, he came to make labor, make freilich a little. And you could imagine that there are some people that this is just what they needed to hear to think what a funny little rabbi this is. Little did they know that this funny little rabbi, anything he spoke about, had the Kisvei Arizal wrapped in it, and it had all kinds of non-funny things. From the Zohar HaKodesh and the Kisvei Arizal, other things, he was able to show how every tenua that a Jew would do, a Jew moves his payas, a tiny drop, Rabbeinu Zal said, and there are oilamois in Shemaim that are moved by it. Could be this is one of the first issues that he took that he wanted Rav Nosson Zal to hear, that you want to know how to this is how you daven. Could be. I don't know. We'll hold it over here for now.